games over the last 30 seasons. Elsewhere on the hardwood, the Suns handed the Bucks their first wire-to-wire loss this season. When it rains, it pours. 140-131. Marks the first time this year the Bucks have lost back-to-back games, and just the second time that's happened in the last two seasons. Milwaukee was without their reigning MVP, Giannis Antetokounmpo, due to a sprained left knee. He's also expected to miss tonight's game against the Nuggets due to that same injury. And on International Women's Day, Sabrina Ionescu went off, showing why she's one of the best players in all of college hoops. She led Oregon to its second Pac-12 tournament championship in the last 3 years. The Ducks dominated Stanford, 89-56. Sabrina finished with 20 points, 12 assists, and 8 rebounds, and accounted for 51 of Oregon's 89 points in the win.
Sports Center brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart.
One right, motion left to right from Corey Lee, the tight end. Jackson in the gun. Snap, makes the handoff, fires, end zone, touchdown, DC Defenders. He just threw a dart into a small window.
That sound courtesy 106.7 The Fan. Golic and Wingo with you, presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, including our next guest. Always a delight to talk to the commissioner of the XFL. Oliver Luck is with us. Oliver, thanks for being with us this morning. So we're halfway through the inaugural season. How do you assess how the XFL is gaining traction with the viewing audience in this country?
First of all, good morning. Thanks for having me on. So we're halfway through our regular season, 5 weeks in the books. I think we're doing well. I think the quality of play is good. I think the fan support has been awesome. You know, people have adopted these teams after only seeing them for, you know, a couple, 3 weeks. So, you know, all in all, I think we're doing well. I think we can certainly play better football. We've had stretches where we haven't been as crisp as we would like. Last night's late night West Coast game, you know, LA versus Tampa, it was a 9 p.m. East kickoff, but that was kind of sort of what I think our games will look like as teams really gel and we go forward. That ended up with, I think, 75 points, exciting, went into the end of the fourth quarter as a one score game. That's the kind of football that I think we will begin to see a lot more of as we go into the second half of our regular season.
Certainly some storylines developing both on and off the field, but I'm really interested from your perspective, a guy who's not only been around the game but played the game for a long time. What are some of the things you see going in the right direction that you've tried, and what are some things where you're saying, okay, this still needs a little bit of work?
So I think almost all of our rules innovations are having the effect that we wanted. We're up, for example, well over 90% in kickoff returns. Fans told us they want to see a kickoff return. We gave it to them. And we made it safer for the players by eliminating that run-up. I think coaches are still trying to figure out the 1 point, 2 point, 3 point, extra point. There's a lot of strategy involved, and you know, I'm not sure that anybody's really settled on the best way to approach that. If I could sort of be happy about one issue that I see is how hard these guys are playing. I mean, the games are physical. The tackling is good. They're hitting people. And, you know, that's good to see, because that's real football. So I've been impressed with, you know, the passion that these players have had. They all have a chip on their shoulder. They're playing for, you know, a variety of different reasons, but I'm just pleased that they're playing hard. That matters. And that is something that I think, you know, kind of comes out of the games and has helped build our fan bases.
Absolutely. It seems important to everybody involved, and I think that shined through, especially with the statement and the apology that you guys issued after the Houston and Seattle game. There should have been time left on the clock. Seattle should have had a chance to win that game. And how important was it for you guys to come out strongly and clearly about what happened in that situation?
Well, we gathered, you know, very quickly after that game. I think we all realized that we made a mistake. Our officiating crew made a mistake. We had, you know, Dean Blandino, who oversees all of our officials on the line, the referee crew, et cetera, and realized, listen, we made a mistake. There's no sense trying to deny that. Let's apologize. You know, I felt terrible for the Dragons and Jim Zorn. They had one more play, 2 seconds left, and should have had that opportunity. So, you know, I think this is my theory, because, you know, we allow fans to eavesdrop, to listen in on the conversations between the referees and the sky judge when there's a contested call. I think that's humanized these referees. And I think that fans now begin to realize these referees just want to get it right, but they're humans. And like all of us, we're not infallible. We make mistakes. And when you make a mistake, you know, I was always taught, right, Mike, to own up to it.
Yep, absolutely.
And say, we're sorry, we apologize, it won't happen again. And, you know, I think that's the right way to go about our business.
Oliver Luck with us, the XFL commissioner. So, Oliver, the attendance has been great, but the ratings for the television side after a great start have not been exactly what you guys have been hoping for. How do you guys try and get that part of it turned around?
Well, I think the only thing that we can do week in, week out is play good football. And we believe if we do that, high-quality games, we're prepared. We're scoring some points, like, again, the late-night game last night with L.A. and Tampa Bay. If we can do that, I don't worry about attendance. I don't worry about the TV ratings. You know, those are important, obviously, and our broadcast partners, Fox and Disney, you know, look closely at those. But as long as we play good football, that's what we can control. And we're going into, of course, a time of year where there's a number of sports that are now beginning to sort of take center stage, whether it's the tournament or the Masters coming up. So all we can do really is play good football. I think there are enough football fans out there that care about us and understand our game that will tune in, that we'll be okay with attendance ratings and virtually all the other metrics that do matter.
Talking to Oliver Luck, XFL commissioner here on Golic and Wingo. Two questions. First, let's just start with this. What does your boss have to say? What has Vince McMahon's thoughts been on the half of the season so far?
I think Vince has basically said to us, so far, so good, but you know, don't rest on any laurels at all. Keep charging hard. I do believe that as we go into the second half, we're going to start to see teams that have gelled a little bit more and guys stepping up like Josh Johnson and really playing well. But so far, so good from Vince's perspective.
Yeah, right now, P.J. Walker has been unbelievable for Houston, the undefeated team, 15 touchdowns, just 4 interceptions. He's really been showing out. Josh Johnson, 11 touchdowns at this point. And then from the NFL side, I don't know if you've had any conversations with them, not anything official, just kind of off-the-cuff conversations. And have there been NFL scouts or personnel showing up to the games?
Yeah, we've had NFL scouts at literally all of our games. I know they're watching all the game tape. You know, certainly with the quality of our league and the history of a lot of these guys, we expect that there'll be, gosh, who knows, 25, 50, 75. It's difficult to say. Guys will have an NFL opportunity once our season is over, and we want them to take that if they're so inclined. You know, we're encouraging them to continue their journey, you know, as football players. But the NFL scouts have been pretty active in watching us. And in particular, one guy, Kenny Robinson, a safety for the St. Louis team, who is draft eligible for the NFL draft in April, next month.
It's very interesting. I know he's a guy that a lot of people have their eye on, so certainly could be a big deal for the league. But, Oliver, you were part of maybe the biggest. In your time, you've been a part of a lot of great teams. You've been a part of a lot of great organizations.
Yeah.
What was it like to be a part of 1,237 cups, 19,792 ounces of beer, and just an impossibly long beer snake in that crowd?
Well, I was just excited when my staff told me I could actually drink the beer we had bought before I gave the cup up, right? Mike, we don't waste beer in Cleveland, do we?
No, sir.
It was just remarkable. I mean, I just want to thank you for contributing to one of the greater sights on the entire weekend. Not a lot of commissioners get a chance to do that.
I was just going to say, what a way to endear yourself to the fans. You got a pretty rousing ovation from that.
Yeah, well, that crowd was pretty easy to get going.
I think they were already there.
Awesome.
Yeah. They had been snaking for a while.
That's right. Think, though, about how quickly, that was the third home game for the D.C. team, how quickly those fans, I kind of wrapped their arms, figuratively speaking, around that franchise. That's the cool part. That they're Defenders fans. You see, all the merchandise walking around town. That part is just really cool.
And again, we'll see what happens going forward as we're entering the back half of the XFL season, and we'll see how this thing goes. Oliver, as always, good to catch up with you. Thanks for the time this morning.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
It was great. You just walked down to the field as the beer snake
it's
was all
incredible.
Over the place, and he's holding up the cup getting cheered as he adds to it.
You know what? It's good to know there's a lot of people, a lot of commissioners that would have walked up there with just a cup that someone gave him. To know that Oliver was behind drinking, actually involving himself in that way, and then placing the cup there, to know he earned his place in the beer snake scene around the world this weekend, that's powerful. That's why, he's probably up there with Adam Silver as far as commissioners with a high Q rating.
Right there. And in spending time as teammates with the Oilers, I do know he can drink beer.
He rallied the realm.
Yes.
He rallied the realm.
I mean, that beer snake. I didn't even get the full length on it, but the XFL.
It was long.
The Twitter account actually put up the stats on it. 1,237 cups.
Fantastic. Meanwhile, some NFL news. Mm-hmm. Apparently, ESPN and reports that the Bills have agreed to a one-year deal with Josh Norman. Norman reunites with Bills head coach Sean McDermott, who was his defensive coordinator with Carolina, where they went to Super Bowl 50, and Josh was a big part of that. The deal is worth $6 million and includes incentives that can reach $8 million, according to ESPN. The deal, first reported by NFL Network, again, reunites him with McDermott. It's interesting because Josh Norman, toward the end of his time in Washington, wasn't the dude anymore.
He was not, right.
But he doesn't have to be in Buffalo, and that's what I think makes this a really good fit.
Yeah, Tre'Davious White is the corner there without question. He's familiar with that defensive scheme because of McDermott. He is 32, so he's working toward the back end of his career, but I think a nice defensive scheme to jump into, and as you mentioned, Tre'Davious White is the corner there, so good to add to that secondary.
Low risk in this one. Yeah. Like, we'll see if the fit and all that familiarity helps, because we're a few years removed from Josh Norman playing anything close to his best ball.
And we're just waiting. He's on, though, the team, though, that if that team that's been leading that division doesn't get Tom Brady back, everybody's waiting for the Bills to be that next team.
That's the question. Will he be having to defend passes from Tom Brady next year in the AFC East, or will he be not worried about that because Tom has moved on to potentially greener pastures? What to make of Tom Brady's future and what one of his former coaches is saying about that? We'll get back to that next. Golican, we
got him a foul. LeBron James a chance for three and might have just sealed the Lakers' first win this season against the Clippers.
That's what the Lakers dub sounded like on ESPN Radio. Our guy Mark Kasicher on the call. All Lakers all week and a couple of big matchups for them. They get their first wins of the season against both the Bucks and the Clippers. They beat the Clippers 112-103. It's their first loss of the season when their top eight scorers all play. Anthony Davis leads the way with a team-high 30 points and 8 rebounds. He joined Shaq, Kobe, and LeBron as the only Lakers to score 30-plus points in 3 straight games over the last 30 seasons. Elsewhere in the NBA, the Suns handed the Bucks their first wire-to-wire loss this season, 140-131. It marks the first time this season the Bucks have lost back-to-back games, and just the second time in the last two seasons that's happened. Milwaukee's without Giannis Antetokounmpo due to a sprained left knee. The reigning MVP will also be expected to miss tonight's game against the Nuggets due to that injury. And on International Women's Day, Sabrina Ionescu showed again why she's one of the best players in all of college basketball. She led Oregon to its second Pac-12 championship in the last 3 seasons. The Ducks dominated Stanford, 89-56. Sabrina finished with 20 points, 12 assists, 8 boards, and accounted for 51 of Oregon's 89 points in the win.
Sports Center brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Straight Talk Wireless has the full court cell phone coverage you need. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G for just $45 a month. Saving you up to half the cost of the big carriers, everything for less. Savings may vary. Check out terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
You let LeBron get to the basket, he's just too good.
LeBron off the deck, drives hard, through contact, scores.
We had a great game plan by Coach Vogel and Coach's staff, and then we just tried to execute it as much as we could throughout 48 minutes.
James, try the blow by again, layup, good in the foul.
LeBron James making his MVP case.
I put a lot of work into my game this offseason, put a lot of work into my rehabbing, making sure that I was preparing myself for this season, just keeping the main thing.
Watch me.
Golic and Wingo, presented by Progressive Insurance. Our phone guest joined us on the Shell Pencil Performance Line. Mike Golic, Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here with you. So Ramona Shelburne has an article up on ESPN.com. And the paragraph that stood out the most to me was, this weekend, LeBron James made his boldest statement yet as he led the Lakers to hard-fought wins over Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Bucks on Friday and Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers on Sunday, with stout defense on the two men who have made the most direct challenges to his throne in recent years. And it does feel like this weekend was another one of those instances. Junior, you brought it up the first time that they played Zion Williamson, and they played him twice now with the Pelicans. But LeBron was like, hey, young buck, love what you're doing. You're good, but I'm still that dude. And it felt like LeBron did that twice this weekend.
Great gif of Kyle Kuzma airdropping the crown onto LeBron James after one of those game-finishing plays over the weekend. And we've seen this going all the way back to Steph Curry's ascent, that LeBron James responds really well when challenged. And quite frankly, it's, I think, especially this last postseason. One of the few postseasons in the last two decades where there's been no LeBron James involved. That was something new for everybody. So what did you get? Increased Kevin Durant talk. Certainly Kawhi Leonard threw his one. Giannis wins the MVP last year. There are people challenging from all sides. And every step of the way, this dude seems to have stepped up to remind him who it is really.
And I love this for this year and then going forward, because it'll be LeBron and Giannis talk, and they may meet in the finals. And then KD's back next year. Steph Curry's back at full strength next year, you know, to add to it. Now, Golden State, tough competing in the West, but what will the Nets do competing in the East with Kyrie and Kevin Durant, you know, along with Giannis and obviously what Boston's doing and Toronto's doing as well. So I love where the storyline is going, let alone some of the great young talent we've been talking about this year. And they're at some point ascension to the top of this league.
Well, listen, there were two things that were kind of on display and potentially on the line over the weekend. Number one, the Lakers, as you pointed out, Mike, last week, had gone 1-5 against top five teams ranked in the NBA, and all they did was beat the Bucks for the first time this season to split that matchup. They had lost the first two games to the Clippers. They won their first game against them. They'll have one more meeting April 9th, which is a makeup of the postponed game that was not played after they were supposed to play at the Staples Center, do it far too soon after the tragic death that claimed the life of Kobe Bryant and his daughter and others. But they went out there and said, if these are the teams that we need to beat to either get to or win the NBA Finals, we need to let everyone know we are certainly capable of doing that. And LeBron James wanted that message, as well as potentially another one, to get out there after these two games this weekend.
We knew it was a big weekend for us. We knew we had Milwaukee on Friday, was the number one team in our league. And we knew we had the Clippers on their home floor, and they beat us the first two times, both on their home floor and on our home floor. So we're a team that don't want to be swept by anyone. So we came in with that mindset. We had a great, great game plan by Coach Vogel and the coaching staff, and then we just tried to execute it as much as we could throughout 48 minutes.
So you guys both think nothing's changed about how you feel about the Lakers or the Clippers after this. Do we feel like LeBron felt the Lakers needed to feel a win like this so they could know they could do this?
Not necessarily, because I think LeBron's so confident in himself, but I think for the young guys, when we talked to Doris Burke before, she mentioned a guy like Kyle Kuzma is the example, who's been there through a lot of the different versions of the Lakers in the last few years, to see, all right, hey, being a scorer is great, being a winning basketball player is better. And when you see the things that go into that, when you see LeBron James diving for loose balls and taking charges in the midst of these playoff atmosphere type games, I think that message rings a lot clearer, and it's close proximity, right? Like the postseason's 20 games away or less than that.
I think that's even more key, because LeBron even said it, as we get closer to playoffs, you know, and you mentioned this about when you're preparing for the combine, getting closer to combine, you want to be like 90% of what you're going to do at that combine. And I think that's where LeBron wants this team now. You want to peak, obviously, in the playoffs. That's what you're waiting for. So you start to get better. You play better against the top team, something they hadn't done. Now they are, as they approach the playoffs.
And we certainly saw someone like Avery Bradley come up with a bunch of threes in that third quarter to really keep them going. So that's the team discussion. But there's another side of what we saw of this weekend as well. Again, when you believe you're the best and you get a chance to go up against the best, and I know he said, I don't really care about regular season MVPs, but it seemed like that was another discussion point that LeBron wanted out there, because here was Anthony Davis after the game talking about the big weekend that LeBron had and what it meant.
What did the kind of weekend that LeBron had this weekend, the way he played against Giannis, and then what he did for you guys tonight, what kind of message did that send?
MVP. MVP.
I mean, I think those are his messengers getting that message out there for him, even though he said he doesn't really concern himself with that.
And I totally understand that from LeBron's side, because we heard this from him years ago when he said, the only people I'm chasing are ghosts at this point.
Right.
Like, I don't have, he doesn't really have like an equal right now when it comes to current legacy versus legacy on the court. Like, there's no one in the same conversations as LeBron James anymore that he's going to face on the court. But that being said, we mentioned he's a competitor. Everybody likes that validation and seeing other people told they're the best by this given standard. That ain't going to ever sit well with him.
I agree. Do I think he's playing for that? I probably agree that he's not, but do I think that he doesn't like to get it if he gets it? Well, sure he does. I mean, you're a human being. You know, you get your fifth MVP or at least put yourself in the conversation where we'll all sit there and say, well, it's like the Jordan rules. He deserved the MVP, but they gave it to somebody else, you know, in the situation. But I'm sure from a personal standpoint, he'd love to be the MVP. I mean, come on.
Absolutely. And I think this year, so we talked about going into the weekend, how much of that could change. We had Richard Jefferson on. He said the next 10 days could tell a lot. It could not have worked as a better, more perfect springboard this weekend for LeBron James than it did, because we all want Giannis back on the court. His injury is a net negative for everyone involved in the NBA, except maybe LeBron. Like, the combination of LeBron coming off this weekend, where PR-wise, he's going to be in an all-time high. Everybody watched these games. They were big, high-profile, top-five matchups. Everybody watched LeBron do the thing. And now, if he can keep this up in the next few marquee matchups, when they play Houston, when they play Utah, when they play Denver, and people are still paying attention, if he does all that while the Bucks do the right thing and make sure that Giannis is going to be 100% for the postseason, you give yourself that best chance, that last best chance, to leave a good taste in everybody's mouth in that conversation. One that, yeah, I get it. Odds-wise, you weren't all that close. But play-wise, you bet your you-know-what, LeBron James has been playing in an MVP level.
So I guess the question is, for you guys, did he do enough to flip the script over the weekend to have him be considered potentially as the front runner for the MVP?
Boy, to be the front runner. Could you say
that? Especially with Giannis now going to maybe missing some games.
And that's what's going to be interesting to me, as you're getting toward the end of the season, where Giannis is going to make sure the knee is right. But even so, once they lock up those number one seeds for good, do you start adjusting their minutes? You know, like the next time the Lakers and Clippers play, it's April 9th. The season ends the 15th of the regular season game. What if they have 1 and 2 locked up at that point? Are you seeing the stars now? Now, it's a TNT game. It's a nationally televised game. So from the league standpoint, they're going to want the stars out there. But who knows? Oh, I got this or I got that injury. I'm going to have to sit. I'm going to be interested to see how the minutes go right now. If nothing else, would you say, it's neck and neck?
I think it's
over
a lot.
Two games?
Well, I knew what it is. I think there was a lot of talk about it leading up to this weekend. Yeah. Like, people were putting the marker out there that, look, if he does this weekend, you're going to start having that conversation. So I think it's not just this weekend, but the buildup, what he's doing. And if he does it these two games against these two teams, I think we have to have that honest conversation now. And I think that's where we are, right?
He's made it close enough to pass, right? Yeah. Like, this is like the end of a NASCAR race. LeBron James is close enough to pass if the conditions are right. And as I said, the conditions could not be lining up any better for LeBron James. That's not to say, again, that the Giannis injury is anything resembling good. But if you're a guy who is in contention for the MVP, to have a chance to keep this momentum going while the other guy's off the court seems like a pretty good opportunity to pass.
All right, so, again, a very good weekend for LeBron, a very good weekend for the Lakers. Did he close the gap in the MVP? We'll find out. But did he do